This is an audio book, The Wind on Haunted Hill by Ruskin Bond, published by Puffin Books, an imprint of Penguin Random House, being read to you by the author. Chapter 1, Nothing Stops the Wind. Ooh, 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 cried the wind, as it swept down from the Mahalian snows. It hurried over the hills and passes, and hummed and moaned through the tall pines and devdas. On Haunted Hill, there was little to stop the wind. Only a few stunted trees and bushes, and the ruins of what had once been a small settlement. On the slopes of the next hill was a small village. People kept large stones on their roofs to prevent them from blowing away. There was nearly always a wind in these parts. Even on sunny days, the doors and windows rattled, chimneys choked, clothes blew away. Three children were standing beside a low stone wall, spreading clothes out to dry. They placed a rock on each garment. Even then, the clothes fluttered like flags and pennants. Usha, dark-haired and rosy-cheeked, struggled with her grandfather's long loose shirt. She was 11 or 12. Her younger brother Suresh was doing his best to hold down a bedsheet, while Binya, a slightly older girl, Usha's friend and neighbour, was handing them the clothes one at a time. Once they were sure everything on the wall was firmly held down by rocks, they climbed onto the flat stones and sat there for a while, in the wind and the sun, staring across the fields at the ruins on Haunted Hill.
"I must go to the bazaar today," said Usha. "I wish I could come too," said Binya. "But I have to help with the cows and the housework. Mother isn't well."
"I can come," said Suresh. He was always ready to visit the Landor Bazaar, which was 3 miles away on the other side of Haunted Hill.
"No, you can't," said Usha. "You must help Grandfather chop wood."
Their father was in the army, posted in a distant part of the country, and Suresh and his grandfather were the only men in the house. Suresh was 8, chubby and almond-eyed.
"Won't you be afraid to come back alone?" he asked.
"Why should I be afraid? There are ghosts on the hill." "I know, but I'll be back before it gets dark. Ghosts don't appear during the day."
"Are there many ghosts in the ruins?" asked Binya.
"Grandfather says so. He says that many years ago, over 100, British people lived on the hill, but it was a bad spot, always getting struck by lightning, and they had to move to the next range to build new houses."
"But if they went away, why should there be any ghosts?"
"Because, Grandfather says, during a terrible storm, one of the houses was hit by lightning, and everyone in it was killed. Everyone, including the children."
"Were there many children?"
"There were 2 of them, a brother and sister. Grandfather said he has seen them many times when he has passed through the ruins late at night. He has seen them playing in the moonlight."
"Wasn't he frightened?"
"No. Old people don't mind seeing ghosts."
Thunder over the hills.
Usha left for the bazaar at 2 in the afternoon. It was about an hour's walk. She went through the fields, now turning yellow with flowering mustard, then along the saddle of the hill and up to the ruins. The path went straight through the ruins. Usha knew it well. She had often taken it to the bazaar to do the weekly shopping or to see her aunt who lived in the hill station. Wild flowers grew in the crumbling walls. A wild plum tree grew straight out of the floor of what had once been a large hall. Its soft white blossoms had begun to fall. Lizards scuttled over the stones, while a whistling thrush, its deep purple plumage glistening in the soft sunshine, sat in an empty window and sang its heart out. Usha sang to herself as she tripped lightly along the path. Soon she had left the ruins behind. The path dipped steeply down to the valley and the little town with its straggling bazaar. Usha took her time at the bazaar. She bought soap and matches, spices and sugar. None of these things could be had in the village, where there was no shop.
a new pipe stem for her grandfather's hookah, and an exercise book for Suresh to do his sums in. As an afterthought, she bought him some marbles. Then she went to a mochi's shop to have her mother's slippers repaired. The mochi was busy, so she left the slippers with him and said she'd be back in half an hour. She had 2 rupees of her own saved up, and she used the money to buy herself a necklace of amber-coloured beads from the old Tibetan lady who sold charms and trinkets from a tiny shop at the end of the bazaar. There she met her Aunt Lakshmi, who took her home for tea. Usha spent an hour in Aunt Lakshmi's little flat, above the shops, listening to her talk about the ache in her left shoulder and the stiffness in her joints. She drank 2 cups of hot sweet tea, and when she looked out of the window, she saw the dark clouds had gathered over the mountains. Usha ran to the cobbler's and collected her mother's slippers. The shopping bag was full. She slung it over her shoulders and set out for the village. Strangely, the wind had dropped. The trees were still. Not a leaf moved. The crickets were silent in the grass. The crows flew around in circles, then settled down for the night in an oak tree. "I must get home before dark," said Usha to herself, as she hurried along the path. But already the sky was darkening. The clouds, black and threatening, loomed over Haunted Hill. This was March, the month for storms. A deep rumble echoed over the hills, and Usha felt the first heavy drop of rain hit her cheek. She had no umbrella with her. The weather had seemed fine just a few hours ago. Now all she could do was tie an old scarf over her head and pull her shawl tight across her shoulders. Holding the shopping bag close to her body, she quickened her pace. She was almost running, but the raindrops were coming down faster now, big, heavy pellets of rain. A sudden flash of lightning lit up the hill. The ruins stood out in clear relief. Then all was dark again, for night had fallen. "I won't get home before the storm breaks," thought Usha. "I'll have to shelter in the ruins." She could only see a few feet ahead, but she knew the path well and began to run. Suddenly the wind sprang up again and sent the rain lashing against her face. It was a cold, stinging spray. She could hardly keep her eyes open. The wind grew in force. It hummed and whistled. Usha did not have to fight against it. It was behind her now and helped her along up the steep path and on to the brow of the hill. There was another flash of lightning, followed by a peal of thunder. The ruins loomed up before her, grim and forbidding, alone in the ruins. Usha knew there was a corner where a piece of old roof had remained. That would give some shelter. It would be better than trying to go on. In the dark, in this howling wind, she had only to stray off the path to go over a rocky cliff edge. "Ooh, ooh, ooh," howled the wind. Usha saw the wild plum tree swaying, bent double, its foliage thrashing against the ground. The broken walls did little to stop the wind. She found her way into the abandoned building, helped by her memory of the place and the constant flicker of lightning. She began moving along the wall, hoping to reach the sheltered corner. She placed her hands flat against the stones and sidled sideways. Her hand touched something soft and furry. She gave a startled cry and took her hand away. Her cry was answered by another cry, half snarl, half screech, and something leapt away in the darkness. It was only a wild cat. Usha realized this when she heard it. The cat lived in the ruins, and she would often see it. But for a moment she had been very frightened. Now she moved quickly along the wall until she heard the rain drumming on the remnant of the tin roof. Once under it, crouching in the corner, she found some shelter from the wind and the rain. Above her the tin sheets groaned and clattered, as if they would sail away at any moment. but they were held down by the solid...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?